Time. And our first consideration, God and time. And our text will be found in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. Now, in most of your Bibles and commentaries, Habakkuk is listed as one of the minor prophets. There are no minor prophets. Everything in this book is major, and all the prophets are major. Years ago, we used to speak of major surgery and minor surgery. We don't speak that way today. The surgeon may be minor, but all surgery is major. And all prophets are major prophets. Habakkuk chapter 2, please. Verse 3. And I'm reading from the Old King James. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, that's verse 2, make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. Now verse 3. The vision is yet for an appointed time. At the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Well, what does that mean? If it tarries, wait for it, because it won't tarry. You say that's a contradiction. And the best translation that I have found, though it be long, it will not be late. That's what that verse means. You remember Abraham? God had said, you're going to have a son. Abraham and Sarah were in a hurry. They went ahead on their own and had a son. Abraham was 86 years old when that son was born. The Lord said, he's not the one. And the one that God wanted to have came when he was 100 years old. 14 years later, God was long, but he wasn't late. You remember Samuel? He said to King Saul, go to Gilgal and wait there for me, and I will give the offering in 7 days. Saul got there, and Samuel wasn't there, and Samuel got a little upset, and he made the offering. And as soon as he finished, in walked Samuel. Samuel was long, but he wasn't late. And God may be long, but he's never late. Now let's see how this truth works with our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. God may be long, but he's always on time. Galatians 4 and verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. The fullness of time. The due time. You know how it is when the mother is expecting? We ask, when is she due? And I remember our professor of obstetrics. He was a man, but we used to call him Mother Ross. He was always talking about mothers. And Mother Ross had a very unique way of presenting things. And much that I remember is not from what I wrote, but from what he said and how he said it and how he looked. And one day, in lecturing on obstetrics, Mother Ross said, date of delivery. And he paused. There we are with our notebooks and our pens, date of delivery. Then he said, 50% of the time we are wrong. And he paused. And the other 50, we are wrong. He was born on the due time. At the due date, the Lord was born. He came on time. You know what else? He died on time. Let's look at that. John chapter 2 and verse 4. God is always on time. Now, he may appear to us to be a little long. And that's where Abraham and Sarah got into trouble, because God was long. But he's never late. He may be long, but never late. John chapter 2, verse 4. Well, we might start at verse 1. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. Chapter 7, please. My hour is not yet come. Chapter 7, verse 6. Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. Verse 8. Go ye up to the feast. I go not yet up. My time is not fully come. Verse 30, they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him. His hour was not yet. What hour is he talking about? Chapter 8, verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. No man laid hands on him. His hour was not yet come. What hour is this that he's talking about? Chapter 12, please. Verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. What hour is that? Verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came unto this hour. What hour is he talking about? Chapter 13. And we get the answer. His hour. Verse 1. Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. That's the hour he was talking about. The hour that he would depart out of this world. Did he depart at the right time? 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Oh my. Did the Lord die on time? Did he die at the right time? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 6. When we were yet without strength, at the due time, Christ died. Isn't that wonderful? He came at the right time, at the expected, at the due date, and he died at the due time. God and time. God may be long, but he'll never be late. How about his resurrection? John chapter 2. Born on time, died on time, and as we shall see, he arose on time. John chapter 2. Verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. He said, after I die on time, I'm going to rise in 3 days. He's going to rise on time. Did he? Let's check and see. Matthew chapter 26. Born on time, died on time, and he arose on time. Matthew 26, verse 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. When they found none, yea, though many false witnesses came, they found none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Is that what the Lord said? He didn't say anything about the temple that Herod had built. We just read he spoke of the temple of his body. Chapter 27, please. Verse 40. Saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Did he arise in 3 days? Was he on time? Luke's Gospel, please. Chapter 13. Or better. Well, yes, chapter 13 will do. 13, verse 32. He said, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons, I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. What does that mean? The third day I shall be perfected. The third day I will accomplish my purpose. What happened on the third day? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 24. 3 days I will raise up this temple. 3 days I will accomplish my purpose. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, and they did not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another? One of them said, whose name was Cleopas, are you only a stranger? And hast not known the things which have come to pass in these days. He said to them, what things? They said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. It's the third day since his crucifixion. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in the scriptures all the things concerning himself. They drew nigh unto the village whither they went. He made as though he would have gone further. They constrained him, saying, abide with us. It is toward evening. The day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave them. Their eyes were open, and they knew him. What day was that? We read before, it was the third day. And there he is alive. They didn't recognize him. And there are some people who tell me, I would believe if I could see Jesus. They didn't see Jesus. At least they didn't know him. But later on they said, did not our hearts burn while he spake with us? You don't have to see Jesus with the natural eye, just the word. And your heart will burn. And I mean it can really burn when you look at this word. The third day, he arose again. Came from the dead. The third day. Verse 46, and said unto them, this is it that was written. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, when? The third day. Oh, this is a beautiful book. This is a wonderful book. Written over some 1,500 years. By over 40 different writers, and they all agree. We had two men running for president, and they didn't agree on anything. And over 40 men over a period of 1,500 years, and they all agree. There isn't another book like it. And that's why I like it so much. The Word of God. Then there is another thing. His ascension, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to talk about his ascension. There is only one reference to the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, that between his resurrection and his ascension, 40 days. I wonder why 40? Why not 50? Why not 6? Why 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension? We'll have to study that at another time. Oh, I like this one. You know he's coming back on time? Do you believe he's coming back on time? In fact, some people don't believe he's coming back. It's been a long time. Sure, it's been long, but he won't be late. He's coming back. Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1. Verse 9. Acts 1 and 9. When he had spoken these words, the Lord Jesus Christ, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come again in like manner. He's coming back. When is he coming? I don't know. But I know one thing, he's coming on time. You believe that? Hebrews chapter 10. My Lord is coming back on time. In fact, before we read Hebrews 10, let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6. And you know, that's another thing I like about this book. There are no contradictions. No contradictions in this book. 1 Timothy chapter 6, started verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which appearing, in his times he will show who is the blessed and only potent entity. You know what that means? Which at the right time he will perform. The Lord is coming back at the right time. Now some of you who are younger, perhaps you would like him to wait a while. But as you get a little older, like Brother Julius and me, we say, as in the book of the Revelation, Lord, come quickly. Take us away from this place. He is coming at the right time. Now, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I like this so much. You remember in our text we read, if it tarries, it will not tarry. And we saw that that meant, though he be long, he will not be late. Now, Hebrews 10, verse 37. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not what? he's coming on time. He's coming on time. Are you ready? Everybody here ready for him to come? Are we all ready for him to come? I see some shaking their head. Yes. Now is the time. Now is the accepted time. That's how the King James reads. It better reads, now is the acceptable time. You remember with the flood? Once that door was closed in the ark, nobody could get in. That was not the acceptable time once that door closed. But today is the acceptable time for everybody. And I see a lot of children here. Oh, I like to see children. I like children. And I remember a recitation that my sister had to recite. I'm not too young to sin. I'm not too young to die. I'm not too little to begin a life of faith and joy. You're not too young to be saved. Now is the accepted time. The Lord is coming again. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 22. The Lord is always on time. He's always on time. Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down. He was on time, wasn't he? Verse 15. He said unto them with desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you. Verse 18. I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine. Verse 19. He took a loaf, gave thanks, brake it, and gave to them, saying, this is my body, this do in remembrance of me, that which we did this morning. He was on time, wasn't he? And we read in Matthew's gospel, where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst. And when we as believers are gathered unto the Lord, he's there on time. Isn't that great? The creator of heaven and earth, and we gather to him. Our conduct should be very special, shouldn't it? He comes on time. He's here right now on time. Now, how should we behave? If the president were to invite you to have dinner with him, one of your first concerns would be, what shall I wear? Am I right? Can't go into the president's presence wearing anything. Got to wear the right thing. The right suit, the right color shirt, and the right tie. Got to fit in. He's in the midst. What are we wearing? Oh, don't look at your natural clothes. I'm not talking about that. Although that does fit in, what we wear. I remember years ago in New York City, at the morning worship service, I wore a red and blue tie. And an older sister came to me and said, you shouldn't wear that on a Sunday morning. You're too proud. Now, when I wore the tie, when I put it on, my heart was clear before the Lord. But you want to know something? I have never worn that tie since on a Sunday morning. If it's going to make her stumble, she won't blame it on me. But what shall be our dress? What are we to wear when we come into the presence of the Lord himself? How are we to be clothed? Book of Colossians, please. Chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. The president has invited me to have dinner with him. My. What am I going to wear? Probably look in the closet then. Look for the best thing that I have to be in the president's presence. We are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. How should we be attired? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on. Now look it up when you go home. Your Greek, French, any language you want. Put on here is the same expression that you use when you put your clothes on. So it refers to clothing. Now what shall we wear in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercy, compassion, kindness, and loving kindness. You know the difference between kindness and loving kindness? When Johnny asked his mother for some bread and butter, that's kindness. But when she puts a little jam on top, that's loving kindness. How about it? And that's what we are to show. Loving kindness. Humbleness of mind. Oh, how many proud people there are in the world. You remember that? The two men that went to pray, a publican and a Pharisee. And the Pharisee addresses God. We'll come to that point too. Humbleness. Meekness. And meekness is not weakness. Moses was the meekest man of his day, but he wasn't the weakest man of his day. Why, he was so strong that he spoke out of turn on one occasion. That's why he didn't enter the promised land. Long-suffering, patience, compassion, forbearing one another. Brother was once asked how he and his wife lived in married life so long. They were married 50 years. He said, the success of our marriage is this. There are two bears in our house. Bear and forbear. And that's what we're to do. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. Now notice verse 14. This is the top coat. The outer garment. The garment that you put over all. Above all. Over all these things. Put on love. And then you're well dressed to go into the presence of the Lord. But not only if we are invited to the president's house for dinner. Not only what am I going to wear. How do you address the president? You don't go up there and say, George. None of us would do that. Well, how do you address him? Mr. Bush or Mr. President? How do we address the Lord? What is his correct title? There's one thing of note. Throughout the Bible, the Lord's disciples and his early followers never referred to him as Jesus. You won't find it in the Bible. Matthew chapter 26. How are we to address the Lord? Matthew chapter 26. The disciples never called him Jesus. As we shall see, they addressed him as Lord. Matthew 26, verse 21. As they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. They were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? They addressed him as Lord. Verse 25, Judas, who betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Judas never called him Lord. I wonder why. He wasn't a believer. He is our Lord. And I like Thomas's expression, my Lord and my God. Oh my. My Lord and my God. John chapter 21. How do we address the Lord Jesus? John chapter 21. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Simon answered, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord. That's the way we address the Lord. He's Lord. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. Peter addressed him as Lord. We are to address him as Lord. Chapter 20. Verse 24, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. 26, after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, What? My Lord and my God. That is how we are to address him. He is Lord. The unsaved never addressed him as Lord. Acts chapter 9. I have to be careful. I have to watch the time. You see, with a subject like this, I could go on till 5 o'clock. That would be too long, wouldn't it? You might get like Eutychus and fall out the window, although that window's pretty high. You wouldn't fall out of that very easy. Acts chapter 9. Verse 1. We know this well. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? He called him Lord. But what did the Lord say? I am Jesus. You're not a believer. I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Verse 6. He trembling and astonished said, Lord. And the Lord accepted him. He was a believer this time. His title is Lord. Acts chapter 17. Oh, this is good. Starting at verse 5-7. The Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. When they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these men that have turned the world upside down are come hither. Isn't that nice? They turned the world upside down. You know we should be turning the world upside down? Are we? But let's read on. Whom Jason has received, and these do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. That's how they thought of him. A fellow named Jesus. Some outcast, Jesus. But to us, he is Lord. Now, beloved, we have to be careful. I have here a tract called Minced Oaths. We have to be careful of our language. You see, there are certain words that we substitute for other words because we don't want to sound too brash and too impolite. One of these words is gee. Gee whiz. You know what gee is, stands for? Jesus. Oh gosh. Gosh stands for God. Oh golly. Golly stands for Jesus. We've got to be careful of our language. And then we have to be careful of the expressions that we use. My goodness. Oh yeah? Goodness is an attribute of God. We just don't call words. Gracious me. No, he's gracious. Mercy. He is merciful. We have to be careful of our language, or we may be using the language of the unsaved in speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now, beloved, I think I've spoken long enough. In the will of the Lord, we'll speak on this subject further. The believer and time. Think on that, the believer and time. Whenever I speak on that subject, I usually say that all of us have the same amount of time. And yet some accomplish so much and others so little, and after the meeting somebody comes to argue with me. Well, we all have the same amount of time. There's no argument about that. The problem is, what do we do with our time? Let us sing in closing, please, the hymn that we sang a few Wednesdays ago. We just read it in Hebrews. He's coming, and he's not going to tarry. 185. O child of God, there is for thee a hope that shines amid the gloom. A gladsome hope that thou shalt see thy Lord, he'll surely come. He'll come, yes, he'll come, and tarry not. Oh, that's it's been a long time, I know. But he's coming on time. First John says, I'm going to be like him. So many people worry today about being handsome. Face lifts, and brow lifts, and nose jobs. I studied under one of those fellows. Never interested me. He's coming, and I'm going to be like him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, with joy and rejoicing, we continue in thy holy presence. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the word of our Lord, and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy word and what we learn from thy word. The Lord is coming back, and he's not going to tarry. Meanwhile, may we conduct ourselves as children of the Lord, wearing the garments that thou would have us to wear in thy holy presence. Dismiss us now with thy blessing, we pray. Take us to our several places of abode in peace and safety. and the glory, the praise, the honor, and the thanks be to thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.